and surpassed and creating the perfect truth. Is so we met with, even in the 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I have to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amish to the Buddha, Amish to the Dharma, Amish to the Sangha. When I was writing my essays about how to grow lotus blossom and about my own experience and training that has confirmed the truth for myself of my master's teachings, I discovered that the columns that Rev. Master Jiyu described in How to Grow Lotus Blossom can be viewed as conduits, each of which has a need end and a help end. You can say, to put it simply, that we live at the need end. And that which we call the eternal is the help end. And these are the ends of one conduit. In other words, there is a fundamental unity. I say that I discovered this. I don't mean that I discovered it for everyone else. I mean that I discovered it for me. In other words, I obtained a certain kind of clarity on this that I had not had before. In actual fact, others may or may not find my explanation of the columns particularly helpful. But it was certainly a benefit to me in the process of writing that I came to see the columns in this way. Her master describes five columns, but you could also say there's just one column which goes through which has these different aspects described in the five. In the last Dharma talk that I gave a week or two ago, well, actually, it was just a few days ago, thinking back. In the last Dharma talk that I gave, I talked about offering up. So which of these five columns does this correspond to? Offering up is corresponds to the second of the five columns, or you could say that it's the second aspect of the one column. It's true either way that you look at it. In that aspect, or in that column, or that aspect of the one column, you have our need, our spiritual need, rising up to the help of the eternal. And as our spiritual needs ascends the column due to our offering of it, it gradually transforms . This is both a metaphor, and it's also more than a metaphor. But if we just look at it just as a metaphor, it's rather neat because, you know, as things get lighter, if something is lighter in water, it floats up more readily. So, for example, if you had if you jumped into a swimming pool or into a lake and you had a bunch of weights that you were holding, they would drag you down to the bottom. But as you release the weights, you would rise up through the water till you burst up through the surface. Well, you can think of your spiritual need like that. You're sitting there in meditation. Suppose some painful thought, some painful memory, some painful feeling arises. You don't turn away from it. You don't grasp after it. You sit still, allow it to come up. And the fact that there's something about it that you can't just will away, causes you to open your heart more to the eternal, to look up to the eternal for help. And this painful whatever it is gradually rises up, floating up the column, as it were. And as it does so, it becomes less painful. Begins to transform. The course that this transformation takes depends on what it is that's being dealt with here. But the general tendency is for there to be been experiencing on the need end of a greater compassion for whatever this is, and a greater sympathy for whatever this is. And this compassion and sympathy are inherent within the Buddha nature. And this pain, whatever it is somehow cut off from, separated from that compassion and sympathy. Even while that separation is essentially an illusion, it is an illusion that can be very convincing. Anyway, a kind of hard shell melts away. And as it does so, sympathy and compassion can penetrate that spiritual need. With deeply rooted need, this process can take longer and be more difficult. With less deeply rooted need, the experience of transformation can be sometimes quite rapid. In either case, the process that I'm describing works. And it works surely. In accordance with the law of karma, actually. Whenever we meditate truly, we are doing the essential spiritual act. And this action has consequences. So when we truly offer up in meditation, this action has consequences, inevitable and inexorable. And we can trust this process, is what I am saying. We can trust this process. It's very important to understand that offering up is not trying to get rid of something. It's not trying to get the eternal to take something from us. It is just sitting still, allowing the mind to quieten and concentrate, opening the heart to the eternal, allowing whatever is in us that needs the help of the eternal to rise up to that help. That is a non-willful act. It's not trying to do anything. Rather, it's allowing something to happen that is longing to happen within us. What I'm describing here is the very essence of what we call Sangye. Purification of the heart, contrition, I would say sincere contrition, humble contrition, purification of the heart, self-forgiveness, having compassion for oneself. But notice that in the process I've described, you're not having to muster up something you think of as compassion. You're trusting in the compassion of the eternal. You have oriented yourself toward the eternal in meditation, which, by the way, is the first of the five columns. Having oriented yourself toward the eternal, you've opened your heart to the eternal. And having opened the heart to the eternal, you have allowed whatever is in you that needs the help of the eternal to rise up to the eternal. There is no willful trying, no striving, no grasping after, no pushing away. You note that I use the word conduit in describing the column. A conduit, in this case, allows something to move up and something to move down. Allows our need to move up. Allows the help of the eternal to move down when necessary to meet that need and to bestow its blessing upon it. It allows the raw material of enlightenment to rise up and be enlightened, to be converted, and allows the merit that flows forth from that conversion circulate back down and pick up more need, which then can rise up, be converted, become merit, come back down, pick up more need in a circulation. Imagine a ring of light, of circulating light. It's like a donut of circulating light. Now, when you face that donut, so that you're looking right through the hole, you can see that circulation as a cycle. But now imagine that you turn it 90 degrees and you're looking at it edge on so that you can't see the hole anymore. Now that circulation looks like an up and down movement. That's the column. Looked at one way, it's an up and down movement. Looked at another way, it's the circulation. And when I was writing, I called it the great circulation. You can call it the circulation of the water of the Spirit. You can call it the circulation of the compassion and wisdom of the eternal. You can even call it the eternal's work of salvation in an individual human life. All of these things are true. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.